And on the podium will be the interim conductor for this season of the Vermont Youth Orchestra, Andrew Massey, who is my guest in this hour. I'm Walter Parker. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Walter. My pleasure to be here.
Now, before we get to the Youth Orchestra, you were assistant conductor of the Cleveland Orchestra, and that's what brought you from England to the United States, is it not?
That's quite correct, yes. I wasn't there when George Zell was there, but I was there during the time when they made the rather weak pun joke saying, well, after Zell, you'd think they'd find somebody other than his mother, Marzell. Anyway, okay, so I've got that out of the way, yes, right.
No, I hadn't heard that, fortunately.
Well, it doesn't deserve to be heard, really. Anyway, Lauren Mazel was the music director when I was there. I moved here in 78 when I had the good luck, though I worked hard, to win the audition to become the assistant conductor there for a year or two.
Well, that must have been thrilling because the orchestra after George Zell was in great shape, wasn't it?
Yes. Do I detect some sort of subtext the way you put it now? That
No. It's been a great orchestra since then.
It certainly is a great orchestra whenever I've heard it in recent years. And it was, in fact, I mean, it seems weird to say it, but it was the first professional orchestra I ever conducted, apart from a small pickup group where it was technically a professional orchestra in England because they were all union members and all got paid, after making it very clear what they thought of my inept efforts. But, you know, I worked hard with various other orchestras and finally got this job in the United States. So that was just a huge leap, completely life-changing for me.
How often did you actually get to conduct them as assistant conductor?
Well, quite often. These sort of jobs don't necessarily bring much appearance in front of the public. And after I'd been in Cleveland and quite a few years later, I was associate conductor in San Francisco for a couple of years and didn't conduct them very much at all during the classic season. They did a lot of summer pops. But with Cleveland, I was quite lucky in the sense that things came my way. We were on tour after I'd been there just a year. We were on tour in Europe, and Lauren Mazel's wife was very sick, and he stayed by her bedside. So on very short notice, like 3 hours' notice, I got to conduct the Cleveland Orchestra in the Bruckner Eighth Symphony in the Bruckner House in Linz.
Wow, that must have been quite a thrill.
I'm not sure whether it was a thrill or not. You know, sometimes you get so anxious, so nervous, so wound up that you don't really have much perception of how you feel about a thing. But it was certainly very intense and very memorable, and it was useful. I mean, it got my name out a bit.
Was it well-received by the Brucknerites there?
So far as I could tell, yes. I mean, we got great standing ovations. It was in the International Herald Tribune, and I got offers from agents at that point, and, you know, that really made a huge difference to me, no question.
Well, you have been a resident of the U.S. since your Cleveland years and are now a naturalized citizen of the United States as well as Great Britain still.
Right.
And now a Vermonter as well.
Well, we've had, my wife and I, we've had our house here for 15 years or so. We didn't really move to Vermont to become part of the musical scene here, though I'm delighted that I'm managing to do that somewhat now. We, like so many people, I think, we kind of moved to Vermont to be able to get away from all sorts of things. I'd been working, commuting a lot. We'd been living in Rhode Island, but I was commuting to Fresno, California, and San Francisco some of the time. And then we were living back in Ohio, in the Toledo Symphony. And, you know, the pressures of being a public figure and being recognized and all the decision-making stuff that goes on. It's nice to get somewhere where you're just a guy. You know, nobody knows who you are. So after several vacations in Vermont, we really liked it, and we bought the house here. And then just a few years ago, we've started sort of moving to make it our base, which it now is.
And you conducted the Vermont Symphony Orchestra's Summer Festival Tour a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that was most enjoyable. And, of course, that enabled me to get to know all sorts of bits of Vermont that I hadn't really paid attention to before, touring around to all those great sites they go to in the summer. That was a thorough delight.
And some may have seen you this past summer conducting the Green Mountain Mahler Festival when they gave their first actual public concert of Mahler's Resurrection Symphony.
Yes, yeah, that was... a wonderful thing, a rather different sort of thing. The Green Mountain Mahler Festival, what a grand title that is, and a grand idea. It's not a professional orchestra, but it's not what you'd think of as an amateur orchestra either. It's, shall we say, an avocational orchestra. I mean, there are professional musicians who play in it, and there are some musicians who are not. But the draw is not to be an orchestra which provides a sort of full supply of repertoire and concerts. The draw is to play the music of Mahler, and for the sake of playing it rather than for the sake of the audience. And so they do an enormous number of readings where they amass a huge orchestra, and they play a Mahler symphony, but they don't rehearse it for a concert. Well, I after they got to know that I was here a bit, I went and spent an evening working through a Bruckner symphony with them, and then the Mahler Third, and they decided that maybe, you know, if I would go along with it, we could get enough rehearsals together and put on an actual public performance. So for the first time, we did that, and it was the Mahler Resurrection Symphony. That sort of megalomania appeals to me.
We should perhaps say a little something about the Youth Orchestra. It's the top orchestra of a whole association, the Vermont Youth Orchestra Association, that has smaller and younger ensembles, all giving great opportunities to lots, hundreds of young musicians.
It's an extraordinary organization. I mean, I had no idea until I was asked to, you know, join them for this year, now that Troy Peters has left. I had no idea that it was such an iceberg, you know, in that all we saw at the top was, you know, you go to a concert and there's some musicians on stage, but you don't realize that this is like an army that can field several battalions all at once. And there are various sort of feeder orchestras and younger orchestras in their own right. They have this magnificent building just around the corner from your studio, in fact, the Ellie Long Music Center, the like of which I haven't seen anywhere. And to me, it's just hugely important for many reasons beyond the specifically musical, because I think we're gradually realizing that music and making music, being on the inside, performing, playing, singing, is a great, crucial human experience. Perhaps we haven't quite come to terms with it enough because it's so hard to describe. After all, I mean, what are we doing? We're just sitting around with funny gadgets making noises. But famously, music is not available to be talked about. Language and music don't overlap very well. So the fact that we can't explain to people easily who don't already understand how powerful music is, that doesn't mean to say that the music is not powerful. And it's just wonderful to see all these young people gradually growing up towards adulthood who have experienced this unique communal, emotional, cooperative thing that music is.
And there are documented positive benefits to participating in music, learning music, not only for the individual and themselves in their learning of other things, but also in their socialization. Working with other people to make music is a highly beneficial thing.
To me, that's the essence of the matter. Not that just that you're cooperating with other people, but that, as it were, you're cooperating with other people when you are also at your most emotionally vulnerable. Because you really do have to put your heart and soul into a performance. You have to weep with the weepy bits. You have to be filled with joy at the happy bits. And you have to do it in combination with lots of other people. So it involves enormous emotional trust. And I think that's just a really important thing to learn. You know, the famous writer Oliver Sacks has pointed out that once we're dead, you can tell a musician's brain just by looking at it, that it looks different from a non-musician's brain, particularly in the corpus callosum, or however it's pronounced, that thick bundle of fibers that joins the two hemispheres together so that the two halves of your brain each know what the other one is doing. That gets much thicker in a trained musician than it does for most people. So you can't tell a mathematician just by doing a biopsy of the brain, but you can say, this person was a musician.